Well, on behalf of the North Carolina Gideons, I want to thank Mr. Hutchinson and all of you for the privilege of being here this morning and being part of your chapel service. I couldn't help but think when Mr. Hutchinson was introducing the Gideons that he had a real nice short Gideon report. So sometimes we only have about 3 or 5 minutes to give a report into church. That was exactly what we probably would have said. Well, after the service this morning, we're going to be outside of the chapel handing out free college testaments. Some of you have been here last year and have one, or had one, I hope. I hope that you gave it away when you were witnessing. So please, everyone, take a testament when you leave the chapel this morning. And there's a great plan of salvation in the back cover. It's a great witnessing tool. A Chinese burglar in the Republic of China was in a woman's dormitory in a college. And as he was making his way through the dorm, he was noticed by a few girls. And as girls will do, they begin to carry on and shout and scream, and they scared him off. And one of the girls had been reading a testament that a Chinese Gideon had given her. And as he was running away, she threw that testament at him and shouted, "You need this." Well, in China, burglars are superstitious, and they believe it's bad luck if you burglarize and come away empty-handed. So he stopped. He turned around and he picked up that testament and then quickly ran away. Well, you know what happened. He began to read that testament, and sometime later he accepted Christ as his Savior. And then he married a Christian woman, and he raised a family and became a great soul winner. He never was without that testament. And sometimes he would misplace it at home and he'd almost tear his house apart trying to find that testament. One day when he was doing that, he had lost it and he was looking all over the house. His wife said, why do you always have to have that worn out testament with you? We have plenty of Bibles around, plenty of testaments around the house. They look a lot better than that. So he proceeded to tell her the story of how he had acquired that testament. And as he completed his story, his wife had tears in her eyes, and she said, "God is so good." She said, "I realize now that I was that lady who threw that testament at you." You know, his word does not return void. And that is my theme verse for tonight. Is Isaiah 55:11. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Another testimony of God's word prospering whereunto I sent it comes from Mexico. Elvira Trejo was sick in a hospital in a city in Mexico. When the Mexican Gideons were making the rounds of the hospital, checking room by room, making sure there was a testament there. And when they came in her room, they placed a testament on her nightstand. When she got better, she took that testament home with her. Even though it says right on the cover, "Please do not remove from the room," we like when patients do take them home, as you'll find out. Well, Elvira was not a Christian. She didn't go to church. But she was very impressed with what she read in that New Testament. During the course of the next several weeks, she had visits from three different religious groups, and I put that in quotes, as you'll soon find out, because when the Jehovah Witnesses came to her door, Elvira said, "Just a minute," and she got her testament. Came back to the doorway and said, "Are you the people that distribute this book?" And they said no. So she did not invite them in. And then a couple days later, there was a knock on the door. It was the Mormons. And she went through the same thing. She got her testament. And she said, "Are you the people who distribute this book?" And again, she got a negative reply. And again, she did not invite them in. And then a couple days later, a Baptist woman came to her doorway. Maria went through the same ritual. She got the testament. came to the doorway and said, "Are you the people who distribute this book?" The lady looked at it and noticed the Gideon emblem on the cover, remembered that a Gideon had spoken in her church recently. In fact, two men from her church were members of the local camp. So she replied, "We preach the message that your testament tells about." So Elaviro, with a smile on her face, invited her in the house. She said, "I want to talk to you. I want to go to your church." And about a year later, she did accept Christ as her Savior. And today, every member of her family are members of that church. Again, the promise in Isaiah 55:11 comes true. You know, we as God's people must claim that promise. God's word will surface. And you know what? And sure you do. God's word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We were privileged to have Dr. Paige Patterson as our Bible Hour speaker at our state convention, State Gideon Convention in Research Triangle Park last May. And it should come as no shock to you that Dr. Patterson did an excellent job. He did something unusual, though. He took his text from the 6th chapter of the book of Judges, and you know that's the Gideon story, and he spoke to Gideons using the Gideon story. But, you know, thinking about that relationship, are Gideons any different from you? Well, who are we? We're born-again Christians. We believe the Bible in its entirety to be the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. So far, I think you're all with me. We're no different, are we? And then we believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. We've accepted Him as our personal Savior, endeavor to follow Him in our everyday life, and are members in good standing of an evangelical Protestant church or assembly. So I believe we can all say that we are, as the saying goes, reading from the same sheet of music. The difference that separates us is that we cannot be pastors, we cannot be ministers, or hold ourselves out to be one. We are business and professional laymen. For a few minutes now, I'm going to apply the old saying, turnabout is fair play. I'll mention a few points from Dr. Patterson's Gideon message and apply it to you Southeastern students. The first point that Dr. Patterson made was that, and this is from the 6th chapter of Judges, he said, God chooses the poor in spirit to become the greatest vehicles of His grace. Gideon was low in spirit. He had very low self-esteem. How many of you, when the Lord called you into Christian service, said, "Who, me? I'm not a mighty man of valor"? The second point was, even though afraid of the task, Gideon obeyed God. You see the similarity? You too were probably afraid of taking the first steps in your new venture, but in obedience to His direction, here you are, enrolled in this seminary. The third point Dr. Patterson made was that revival will have its adversary. You know, Satan was unhappy with Gideon's decision to tear down all those idols in the evening at the nighttime. Satan set the village people against him. And you know, Satan is unhappy with what you're doing. He was in Gideon's day and is today also. Don't become discouraged. Keep on keeping on in God's will. And then the fourth point, when Gideon stood up for the truth, God brought revival to his own father, Joash. Remember, Joash was worshiping Baal? Well, Joash repented and said to the villagers, "Will you plead for Baal? If he be a god, let him plead for himself." We should never compromise the word of God. God will honor and bring revival to the most unlikely. So, in using some of Dr. Patterson's points when he exhorted the Gideons last May, all of us can apply the qualities of Gideons to our lives today. And in so doing, it's obvious that we have the same goal, winning the lost to Christ. Most of you, when graduating and leaving Southeastern, will enter into Christian work of some sort, whether it be pastoring or counseling, teaching or missionary. And during that time, the subject of missions will no doubt come up. It could be foreign missions, it could be United States missions. And when that subject comes up, please remember that we Gideons are really an extended missionary arm of your church. The prayers and offerings and new members that you provide have worldwide outreach in the Gideon ministry. The 144,000 Gideons, 81,000 auxiliary wives are now organized in 175 countries. Now, we have some advantages over the conventional U.S. missionary who serves overseas. You see, the day our membership application is approved, I liken it to an airplane that's coming into a landing. You see, as that airplane is coming in, the wheels are stationary. But as soon as it hits that runway, with a puff of black smoke, those wheels are going 100 miles an hour. And so the new Gideon can hit the ground running. Doesn't have to go through a 1 or 2 year deputation period to raise support. There's no 1 year or so in language school, no culture shock. This extended missionary arm of your church is very efficient. Now, don't get me wrong, we are great supporters of the local church's missionary programs. We certainly need foreign missionaries, church planters, and so forth. My point is that we supplement the church's missionary program. We don't replace it. Now that we've established that we have the same goal in our hearts, let's see where our paths may cross in the future after you graduate and leave here and establish yourself in a Christian ministry. The obvious is that one of our members will someday be knocking on your church's door, asking for time to conduct an annual business meeting. Now, an annual business meeting sounds kind of strange coming from a Gideon, doesn't it? It sounds more like a corporation's term, when their stockholders meet once a year. Well, when the stockholders do meet, what do they want to know? They want to know where their money has been spent the past year. They also want to know what the return on their investment has been. Well, we're no different. This year, in our Gideon message to your church, we would tell your congregations that their monies were invested in the purchase of 56 million scriptures, distributed at the rate of 1 million every 6.5 days in 175 countries. The second part of our business meeting would relate to the returns on the investment. Of course, we wouldn't speak in terms of net profits or income per share. More importantly, we would emphasize the even greater return on the investment, testimonies of those that were saved through the reading of a Gideon place scripture. John Clayton is a personal friend of mine. He grew up in a suburb of Chicago, Illinois, had a very, very unstable childhood. You see, by the time he was a teenager, his mother had been married 7 times. John was constantly having to get used to a new stepfather, a new set of grandparents, new sets of aunts and uncles, but that wasn't the worst part of it. You see, drugs and alcohol and promiscuity was rampant in his family life. So early on, John was introduced to all these vices. Early on in his life, John had a feeling that he was a loser. And towards the end of his teenage years, the Vietnam War was on. John was an intelligent young man, but he reasoned this way. He said, "I'm tired of being a loser." He said, "I'm going to join the army. United States wins all the wars they've ever been in. I want to be on the winning side. I want to be a winner." So he did that. He joined the army, went to Vietnam, and he came back. We all remember what an unpopular war the Vietnam War was. When John came back, he was not treated as a hero. He still felt that he was a loser. Well, he was, at this point in his life, even more heavily involved in drugs and alcohol, barely able to hang on to a job. But he did have a job as a security guard in a hospital. He had gotten so low in his life that he was contemplating suicide. It was in December. He reasoned this way. He said, I'm going to wait till the end of the month, get Christmas out of the way for my family's sake. Besides, I get paid at the end of the month, I'll have enough money to buy drugs, enough drugs to overdose. It so happened that at this time of his life, a fellow worker, an older person, a Christian, began to witness to John, began to tell John about Jesus Christ. John was very cynical. He said, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you probably believe in Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, and so forth. The man did not get rattled. He said, John, read about Jesus Christ in the Holy Bible. Read about him for yourself. John had never owned a Bible. The only Bible he ever owned was the handgun Bible or the ammunition reloader Bible. But he did remember seeing a book in that hospital lobby, and the cover said Holy Bible. So he went to that lobby and he stole that Bible. He brought it home and began to read it. He still was thinking about suicide, but he read the Bible extensively. He wanted to go, after he committed suicide, he wanted to go to that place called heaven. And he was now sorting through how to get to heaven. He said, well, maybe if I give enough money to the church, I can get to heaven that way. Then he remembered reading about the poor widow who placed two mites in the offering plate. And he said, no, that's not the way. Well, maybe if I pray enough and go to the church every time the doors are open, get to heaven that way. Then he remembered reading about the hypocritical scribes and Pharisees with their loud and long prayers, and he said, no, that's not the way to get to heaven. And as he sorted through all these ways how to get to heaven, it always came down to one thing, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. So one morning, in his bedroom, he knelt. He knelt and prayed the sinner's prayer. He thanked God for loving him in John 3:16. He admitted that he was a sinner, Romans 3:23. And he thanked the Lord for sending his son to die on the cross for his sins. And then he accepted Christ. He asked Jesus Christ to come into his life. And you know what happened. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells you that. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Yes, John Clayton became a new creation. His desire for drugs and alcohol left him. He went back to school, went back to college, graduated magna cum laude in engineering. Today, John Clayton lives in Cary, North Carolina, works as an engineer for Northern Telecom, now called Nortel. And recently, his oldest daughter graduated from Bible college. And John gives his testimony many times at pastor's appreciation banquets. And he always goes back to that Bible that he stole from that hospital lobby as being very influential in his salvational experience. So you see, our business meeting, or better known as the annual Gideon message at your church, will show a return on investment that will make the New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ, mutual funds look very, very sick. You know, we don't have to go all the way to the Republic of China, Mexico, or Chicago for our returns. Exciting testimonies are right here in our midst. Let's look at what has happened to some of the Southeastern Baptist Seminary students. Yanni Taveras was a notorious gang leader in New York City. Some years later, in a Maryland prison, he found a Gideon Place scripture in his prison cell. When he opened the scripture, I bet you can guess what scripture it opened to, John 3:16. Glory filled his soul, and he was saved. He said later, and I quote, I am now under a fountain greater than Niagara, end quote. Dean Mattern from Southeastern is excited about his salvational experience. Now serving the Lord in the Raleigh area, he's given his testimony at many Gideon pastors' appreciation banquets. And that testimony centers around a scripture placed by a Gideon. And then we have Steve Frary from Duffield, Virginia. He came from a good Christian background. He grew up in a church with everybody telling him that he was a Christian. Diagnosed with cystic fibrosis as an 8-year-old, he eventually received a lung transplant in his 30s. More importantly, during that time of awful sickness, Steve found a Gideon Place Bible on his nightstand in a Chapel Hill hospital. He accepted Christ as his Savior. Last year, when we were here, I was thrilled to death to see Brother Steve sitting here. He had enrolled as a seminary student, and this year is no different, because I see Steve Frary sitting right back here, almost in the same area. We're creatures of habit, aren't we? But there Steve is, enrolled as a seminary student. So you see, with tongue in my cheek, the Gideon Association could be looked upon as a feeder program for the Southeastern Baptist Seminary. But on a more serious note, and a concluding note, we, just as you and your chosen profession, are following our Lord's will. We are partners in fulfilling the Great Commission. When we become discouraged in the Lord's work, let's remember to claim that promise in Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, but shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Whether God's word is literally thrown into the back of a Chinese burglar, or taken home from a hospital room in Mexico, or stolen from a hospital lobby by a security guard, or found in a prison cell in Maryland, or picked up from a bedside table in a Chapel Hill hospital, God's word will surface and will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I thank you for inviting us here today and for your fine attention, and may God bless you today and always in your endeavors.